You might think financial crime is all about money, but sometimes it ends in murder. I'm Nicole Lappin, host of Money Crimes, a Crime House original podcast. Each episode features a thrilling story about the dark side of finance and how to protect yourself from it. Follow and listen to Money Crimes, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Is everybody in? Is everybody in? Is everybody in? The ceremony is about to begin.
Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Certainly apologize for the audio difficulties this morning. Hopefully those are all behind us.
I think we're okay.
Okay. Paulie has done a great job behind the scenes getting us back up and running.
Thanks, super fun.
Thanks to the engineers and everyone back home as well. We're live from Padres Fantasy Camp. I'm Woodsy. That's Ben Higgins and Paul Reindel. And just kind of mulling it over and talking through it. I feel get the feeling we're going to be doing a lot of talking through it this year. But listen, the offseason's not over yet. People are hungry for a big league move. And, you know, if you're the Padres right now, you got to do it. You got to do something. You got to get Michael King extended. You got to do something. You are in desperate need. And I mean desperate need. Not only of a PR move, you're in desperate need of a baseball move. And coincidentally, those two things happen to go hand in hand. How great is that? You can improve your roster while also making your fan base feel a little bit better. And it's not like it's not like you're adding anything superfluous. You've got holes. They need to be filled. And it's also people will be a little bit happier than they are today. And they are not happy today. And I don't blame them.
But can you do it while keeping your, you know, luxury tax number in check?
Right.
That's the issue right now because the Padres remain, from all reports, kind of on the slightly on the wrong side of the luxury tax, which means instead of adding payroll, technically they need to subtract payroll before the start of the season to get to that number. Now, ultimately, as they have pointed out, and you've seen the reporting, the Padres' payroll will go up from last year in real dollars. But from a fan perspective, it's not going to feel that way. When you lose
the resting heartbeat,
when you lose
payroll.
Players and you're just bringing back some of the players you had before, it feels like you're shedding payroll. You're just paying more for the guys you're already having. I made the old rent analogy. Just because your rent goes up from $2,000 to $2,500, you don't feel like you're living in a better house.
Yeah, you didn't get
anymore. You're living in the same house.
There's no amenities.
In fact, you had to cut back on, you know, your car payment to make your house payment.
Sure.
So even though, yes, you're paying more, it feels like you're getting less.
There's
no
question.
And that's where the fan base is. So I understand when the Padres are making that argument, like our payroll is still fourth in the National League. It is. We're right at the luxury tax level. It is. We're not even really able to afford that. I understand all of that. But you did realize when you were making all these commitments and spending in those years and enjoying the benefits of, you know, the fans getting excited and buying all the tickets.
You hoped that they would fill Petco Park.
And they did.
And they did. Yeah, like you said last night on the stream, they can't make any more money. Could you sell a few more jerseys? But it's negligible. You can't add more seats to Petco Park. They're selling out. So
you had to realize that the reckoning would be coming and that fans might not understand the intricacies of baseball finances. Yep. They'll only see players that they love no longer on the team.
Yep.
And, you know, additions that you need to make to stay competitive
that you can't
with other teams that you're not able to make.
Yep.
And that's just the reality right now. It doesn't make you a bad fan where you feel like, oh, why am I upset that the Padres have, and they still have a good payroll. I should not be upset.
No.
Fans aren't wired that way, and they shouldn't have to be
Neither
wired
are radio
that
hosts
way.
You know, sometimes
they are, sometimes they're not. But that's kind of where we're sitting here. So I do wonder whether the Padres are going to feel like we got to bite the bullet at some point.
The bullet needs to be bitten, I think, at this point.
Just to change a little bit of the narrative and how everybody's feeling and make some sort of, you know, positive forward-looking move here,
no doubt,
for the 2025 roster.
Well, Kevin Acey, I don't want to say it's buried. He didn't hide it, but it's kind of in the middle of his piece there. Ben, read the quote from his article. I believe it came out last Friday.
Yeah, it was the aftermath of the Roky Sasaki situation, and he wrote that according to people in the organization and others who have dealt with the Padres, the team has at least entertained the idea of trading any number of stars to get payroll down and acquire more affordable talent.
And it begs the question, and again, we've gone back and forth on it. And I can remember a time in covering the team with you guys since we've been on the show that we've had those discussions of, well, are we willing to bite the bullet as fans for a year or two, right? But they didn't. They went in a different direction. You know, should we be doing X, Y, and Z to get us to the promised land 3 years from now? And obviously, there's no guarantee of that. There's no guarantee if you trade some of your stars, as they mentioned there. And I don't know who those stars are. I've got a pretty good idea who they are. And it would probably be a Dylan Cease, a Luis Arraez, or Michael King. I mean, they would never entertain the idea of trading a Fernando Tatis, right? Like, that couldn't happen.
I don't read it that way. I mean, I think you have to entertain the – you have positions that you need help at.
Yeah.
Outfield, pitching, designated hitting. If you could trade a Luis Arraez and pick up an everyday starting outfielder and another starting pitcher, I think you'd have to do that.
Is someone giving you that?
I just don't know that. Yeah, I just, and that's why I don't think we've seen that move. I don't think the Padres are looking to trade star players for like double A prospects, you know, and rebuild for the future. This is not a tear down rebuild. They're looking, at least asking, to see if there is any interest in some of their star players to bring back guys that will help them become a more complete team this year.
Well,
you're taking from Peter to pay Paul in this situation, but that may be a
congratulations on your payment.
Yes,
Paul.
Congratulations, Paul.
Yeah.
Sorry, we're taking from Peter. You know, but if that makes you a better team in 2025, then absolutely you have to consider doing that.
Sure.
You know, and it may hurt to lose a Luis Arraez or a Dylan Cease, but if you get two good players, that may be worth more to you in the short term than 1 year of Dylan Cease.
It's tough, man. It's tough. I'm a big ride the wave guy. Like, so I want to just keep riding the momentum and the good vibes from last year, obviously. And it was a blast, you know, and Petco was rocking, because here's what's going to happen. And I don't blame Padres fans for this, but the attention, especially in conjunction with what's happening in the division, let's not, you know, prop the Dodgers up any more than they already are. But what's happened in the division alone, what's going to happen is people are going to become apathetic to your baseball team if you're not winning and you're not looking to improve the team. And when apathy sets in, that's hard to get back from. It really is. And so I don't want that to happen. I want to keep the good times going. I need A.J. Preller to get creative. I need A.J. Preller to move some prospects if he needs to, because we need to get some major league help in there and continue to try to go out and make the playoffs.
I do think A.J. realizes that whatever he puts on the field at the start of spring training or the start of the season, if he can put a competitive team
yes.
that you know, finds its way into the postseason, there'll be plenty of excitement. You're in a wild card series, you know, whoever you're taking on, you win, you got a shot at the Dodgers in October. I don't care how many games the Dodgers win. 120-win Dodgers.
Resets to zero.
85-win Padres. Everyone will be hugely excited about that. You just have to find a way to put that team on the field that can get you to the postseason, get you to the wild card, give everybody in San Diego the shot. That's all we all want.
Yeah, we want
year.
A shot.
We just want that shot every year. And I do believe the Padres still have the makings of a team that can take that shot in October.
But not if you trade two guys to get two guys. You know what I'm saying? Like, not if you take from a, you know, your starting rotation.
Well, then, okay, let's say, what's the alternative? Keep Dylan Cease, keep Arise, keep everybody you've got.
Try to run it back.
But who plays left field?
Great question.
Who's your fifth starter?
Great question.
Who's your designated hitter?
Who's your catcher?
We can't.
Yep.
Who's your catcher? We can't necessarily add more to the payroll to sign those guys. So then you are really just throwing
but I was told by
stuff at the wall and hoping that it sticks.
But I've been told by national media and all over that we just need to figure out a way to pay them because that's what you're supposed to do. That's the easy solution. Everybody, Buster Olney's telling me. Jeff Passan's telling me. Trevor Plouffe is telling me. Ken Rosenthal's telling me. Guys, just go spend more money. So do. If we don't have the money to spend, how are we supposed to figure it out and just go spend more money?
I do think those guys are directing those comments more toward the Pirates and Reds of the world and a Padres team that's already at the luxury tax level. You know,
I don't worry about the Pirates or the Reds.
I know you're not.
They should. They should spend money. Baltimore should spend money. Minnesota should be spending money. These are teams with good players. How am I to, quote, unquote, figure it out? Find a way to freaking keep up. That's what we're being told to do. That's what Padres ownership
I think you can
do.
I think you can infer from the Padres offseason though that we know that Dylan Cease and Luis Arraez have been the subject of trade talks.
Yeah.
If the Padres simply wanted to move the salary,
yes,
there
could.
Are plenty of teams out there that can afford 1 year of Dylan Cease or Luis Arraez who would happily add them for a couple of prospects.
Happily.
Padres, I'm sure, have turned down plenty of offers because that's not what they're looking for. Now, there may not be the right deal out there at the moment, but that can always change. You know, a team loses a starting pitcher in spring training.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, that changes the equation, and they may have to give up a little more than they were willing to a couple of months ago to make things work for this year. And maybe that's when AJ strikes. He's waiting for the right moment and the right deal and being patient and not just running and saying, oh, I got to shed some salary, so I got to make the move. You don't want him to make that move right now. You want him to wait until he's in the best possible position to acquire something that actually can help the Padres win games in 2025.
Yeah, no question. That moment may not come. You know what I'm saying? It just may not come to where you get the deal that you feel that you need to, and then you go into opening day, and you know, maybe Campy's behind the dish, and Sullivan's is back up, and Mike Brousseau's in left, and you roll for a while, and then see what you have to do. I don't think fans are going to be happy about it, and again, I don't blame them, especially when Jerickson's sitting out there right now. And man, there seems like some more action's picking up in Major League Baseball. I'm sure Jerickson's agent is answering phone calls as we speak, but. But yeah, it's a really tough situation. I'm sympathetic to all of it. I really am sympathetic to all sides of this. But you know, I keep being told, hey, it's no problem. Just go out and spend more money. Fine, then that's what we should do. We should just find a way to, quote, freaking figure it out and keep up.
The problem with keep up is how are any teams, like the Mets and the Yankees, are having a hard time keeping
up
with the Dodgers.
It's very difficult.
How the hell are the Padres, the Pirates, the Reds, the Twins, the White Sox, you know, how are they supposed to keep up?
Yeah, it's tough. It's a tough look for baseball. Dodgers aren't doing anything wrong, per se. It's just a tough look for baseball.
All right, when we come back, Sam Levitt's back in studio.
Yep.
He's going to join me for a while as you guys head out to the fields here to gain more stories from Fantasy Camp to share with us throughout the week. But we'll continue the baseball talk. And more as Sam Levitt joins me and continues on until 10 o'clock.
We may have one more short
You might have a little bit more.
Here.
That's fine. We'll see.
Maybe not.
We're playing it by ear this week.
Well, listen, I got an idea to help us make some more money. How about Loan Pronto? You know, if you're a homeowner right now, you can. You don't want to go through another year with all that high interest debt. Let Loan Pronto
AJ
wipe it all out right now. Their rapid equity loan makes it easy to pay off all your credit cards or tackle the 2025 home improvement project. Get cash in your pocket fast. No appraisals, no paperwork, no waiting. Loan Pronto's AI-driven technology gets you approved and is funded in as little as one day. One client got $150,000 approved in under 24 hours, paid off their credit cards, two cars, personal loan, saving over $1,500 a month. So imagine being credit card debt-free by this time next week. Don't wait. Call Loan Pronto now at 617-619-207-4336 or go to loanpronto.com. Free rate quote now, no hard credit pull, 619-207-4336 or loanpronto.com. Equal housing lender, NMLS 1661781. Subject to lender approval, NMLSconsumeraccess.org.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
820 San Diego time, 97.3 The Fan, 920 here in Arizona at Padres Fantasy Camp. Woods has left. Paulie's here for another minute or two as you get ready to head on. What's on the schedule today? Do you have two more games today?
Two more. Doubleheaders every day, my friend.
Crazy.
We used to have one maybe at the end of the week. We've got two a day, and the body feels as such. But, yeah, going up against Chris Gomez's team, I believe, here in just about 15 minutes.
Woodsy got a win over Chris Gomez's team yesterday, okay, if good. I'm not mistaken. So it sounds like they're beatable, Paul.
All right. And they do the first game is live pitching. The second game, we don't have enough arms, so then they do a machine pitch game. So we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, you know what? Not having enough arms is a problem. It goes all the way to the top level, actually, not just fantasy camp. You know, it's always trouble to find enough arms for a Major League Baseball season, even a week of fantasy camp. But to help me out, rest of the show, let's go back to our Odyssey Studios in San Diego, where I am joined right now.
There's the handsome devil.
By Sam Levin, who is sitting there where we're normally sitting. Good morning, Sammy. How's everything back in San Diego? I know we got some fires and everything. We got Italian Paul running the show back there as well. Good morning, gentlemen.
We are good. Yes, some brush fires yesterday. I heard of one this morning. I'm not sure where that is, but beautiful day here in San Diego, and certainly sounds like you guys are having an excellent time at Fantasy Camp.
We are. You know, you spend way more time in Arizona than the three of us combined.
Yes.
Last couple of years, you're out here every day for spring training. But I must say, Sam, if you get the opportunity to come out for a fantasy camp week, take it. It's a totally different experience. You know, getting to be inside as opposed to outside and having access to the clubhouse and the training rooms and the meal, the cafeteria. I haven't even taken advantage of any of it because I get so uncomfortable. Like they say, no, you can go these places where normally are completely off limits during spring training when you're going to be here like in a month.
Yeah. Look, I love that facility, but you're right. I don't see every single corner of that facility because, there are obviously areas that are off limits and are only for the players. But, you know, I'm looking forward to getting out there in 3 weeks, which is hard to believe. And we'll get it rolling with spring training. But yeah, I mean, look, at some point, maybe next year, maybe a year after that, I would love to do fantasy camp. I would love to get out there, and maybe we'll work that into one of the years to come. Maybe next year I'll take the trip with you guys, something like that.
Well, Sammy, why don't we start here? What was your reaction on Friday when the news came down that Roky picked the Dodgers after this entire process, you know, the weeks of where will he land? When you got the news on Instagram or wherever you saw it first, just kind of give me your emotional gut reaction.
Yeah, I mean, look, I was, obviously I heard the rumblings in the morning when you guys were on Friday morning. And then, you know, I had a period of maybe you want to call it denial because none of the usual newsbreakers had come out with it yet. And you thought to yourself, all right, maybe there's a chance that the Padres are doing something where they're signing some of these other international signees and are going to find a way to get Roky. And then I was on the air with Tony on Friday afternoon when the news officially broke. Look, I think in retrospect, I'm not all that surprised that he ended up with the Dodgers. That's what a lot of people thought would happen. Well, look, whether you want to believe it or not, that's what a lot of Major League Baseball executives seem to think. What, you know, that would happen for a long time, that, you know, that was kind of set up from way back when. I think, you know, my gut reaction at the time was obviously it's really disappointing. I don't know how much it really affects this team's potential in 2025, but when you want to talk about just having a franchise cornerstone ace type pitcher that would be under control for a long time, and especially early on, would be at such a manageable price, it's a gut punch. That's the way I put it. I thought it was a gut punch. I wasn't surprised in retrospect, but obviously it's really disappointing. And look, I think the Jake Peavy interview that you guys had this morning is kind of a must listen for Padres fans, because I do believe what Jake said. And that's, you know, that I don't know the Padres could have done anything else. You know, I believe they put their best foot forward. And, you know, I wonder if it was a process of Roky having his heart set on the Dodgers, and this was all about seeing if any team could sway him off that. And look, at the end of the day, is anybody really surprised that he picked to go to LA? And you know, if you read some of the things that are out there, that seemed to be, you know, maybe something that was kind of always in the works.
You know, I mentioned that earlier in the show, that Major League Baseball actually thought they needed to investigate. There was enough talk around the league that the fix was in. The Dodgers had a pre-agreement, a handshake deal with Roky Sasaki, that they were, you know, they sent investigators to at least ask the questions. Now, they didn't find anything. I'm not surprised they didn't find anything. You don't leave a bunch of evidence if you're going to commit a crime,
right,
you know, or a violation, and, you know, leave a bunch of breadcrumbs to follow if you were going to do that. I will say, though, one more time, that the Padres, and I heard this from sources inside the building.
Mm-hmm.
And you heard, you know, Mike Schilt say, hey, we're confident we're going to land him. Some of that I took as just talk. Like, oh, you should be confident. You should
right.
always go into a process feeling like you had a chance. Up until the last few days, the Padres really thought, I think they were the front runners, and that they were always the front runners to
wow.
land Roky Sasaki. They believed that he was going to pick them, and it came as a gut punch to AJ and his staff after all the work that they put in. The groundwork that they laid over the years, they felt like Roky Sasaki was going to be a San Diego Padre. And when it didn't happen, it definitely hurt a lot
yeah.
in this building, at Petco Park back there as well, that was one that they really thought they had a good chance of getting.
Yeah, I believe it. I really do. I don't know that the Padres could have done anything differently. Obviously, the reporting came out after the fact that they were willing to max out their bonus pool money, which I'm sure was true. Because, look, at the end of the day, you're talking about a few million dollars, right, to go get a guy of that caliber. I imagine it was, and I'm not surprised to hear that you've heard that. You know, I've heard a little rumblings of there was a confidence there. And I'm sure there was. I mean, you don't put that kind of effort that they've put into him, not just going back to the last month or two, but for a long time. I mean, we know that they've been on him forever. So I think gut punch is the right word. I think now it's about, okay, what do you do moving forward? How do you pivot? For 2025 in particular, I understand in the big picture, it really hurts, and you don't have a guy like that. What was Roky going to be in 2025? We don't know, right? He could have come and struggled his first year in the major leagues. But now to me, it's about, you know, how do they make this team as good as it possibly can be for 2025, no matter what they have to do. But it is a gut punch. There's no way around it. And I'll also say this, and I brought it up to Tony on Friday. Look, I find some of the process a little, I don't know if odd is the right word, Ben, and I wonder if you agree, but at least interesting. Like, the idea that he was on the field at Petco Park throwing in Padres gear head to toe with, you know, all those players around him and front office around him, and then a few days later is picking the Dodgers, number one. It's just, to me, a little, the whole thing's a little odd. But I'd also say, if I'm those players, how do you feel, right? Do they feel a type of way about that? Again, it was just a very unique situation and process. I'm not saying there was anything wrong with it. But yeah, it got kind of interesting at the end. And look, I think it kind of falls in line with what you've heard as well.
We may never know, you know, Roque's real reason, you know, why he picked the Dodgers. There'll be speculation for his career. I want to make it clear, though, and you kind of made the point, Sam. Had the Padres landed Roque Sasaki, there's a misconception that that would have evened the playing field with the Dodgers. It wouldn't have. Yeah. They still would have been massive underdogs to the Dodgers in 2025. The value in Roque Sasaki was a six-year value of having a pitcher under control, and you know why that would have allowed them to go out and make some other moves as well that could have helped. But nothing. There's nothing that any team can do that's going to stop the Dodgers from going in now as massive favorites.
No.
Nothing. The Padres, the Mets, the Yankees, the Braves, nothing anybody can do. The Dodgers have established themselves as massive favorites this year, and that was not going to change, and it will not change for the start of the season. And I once again believe that's not great for baseball. Jake said, you know, he loves, you know, a great villain. You know, the bigger they are, the harder they fall. I don't like it when fan bases go into the year feeling discouraged and feeling hopeless. And you shouldn't necessarily, because the playoffs are the great equalizer, but it's hard not to, Sam. It really is hard not to feel that way right now.
Yeah, look, I think the way I look at it right now as far as the Dodgers is, I don't think if you're the Padres, much has changed no matter who they add from this point on, right? I mean, everybody's going to pick the Dodgers to win the division. Everybody's going to say they're going to win more than 100 games. Look, I think, you know, I know you didn't totally agree with Jake earlier, but one thing that I really did agree with what he said was, you know, if you can get, or something to the effect of, if you can get into the dance, you know, you're going to have a shot, right? It's going to be very similar for the Padres that it's been the last handful of years, and it's going to be about getting to the postseason, however you got to do it. And in all likelihood, with how good the Dodgers are going to be, that will be via the wild card. So, you know, look, the only way that I think it really affects the Padres is the fact that the Dodgers are in their division A, and that, you know, you're going to have a really hard time winning your division, and you've got to play them 13 times, where every other non-division team has to play them a max of six. I mean, that's the way it really affects you. So, you know, it sounds crazy. I don't want to sound defeatist, but at the same time, it's like, hey, I wouldn't even really worry about what they're doing up there, because they are what they are, and they're going to be what they're going to be, and they're going to win a lot of games, and in all likelihood, they're going to go on and win the division, and it will be about how can you, A, get into the postseason, and B, give them, or any other team, your best shot when you get there, because we've learned, and it's not just, you know, from last year of seeing how crazy a playoff series can get and seeing how weird a playoff series can get, but we've seen a lot of great Dodger teams before last year, certainly, you know, go down a lot earlier than expected. So to me, the goal, the mission has not changed for the Padres. And, you know, the Dodgers are what they are. It sounds weird to say, but I almost wouldn't be all that concerned, right, about what they're doing up there. They're going to do what they're doing.
All right, Sam, we're going to take a quick timeout. Sam Levitz back in our San Diego Odyssey studios. I'm Ben Higgins. We're out at Padres Fantasy Camp in Peoria. We'll have more live from Arizona, talk about what else was going on over the weekend as well, including the NFL playoffs, down to the Final Four, all coming up next on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. We are back live from Padres Fantasy Camp. Ben Higgins in Peoria, Arizona. Paulie and Woods are out on the field. They got their first game of the doubleheader today. We'll be out here through Friday, though, talking with more of the Fantasy Camp counselors. Talked to Jake Peavy this morning. Andy Ashby stopped by. Chris Gomez, who I had never actually had a chance to sit down and talk to. Very cool to get to know the shortstop from the 1996 and 1998 San Diego Padres as well. I'm joined back in our Odyssey studios by Sam Levitt and Italian Paul, Frank Marchese, who both looking good on our YouTube stream. Good morning again to you guys. You catch either of those, any of those interviews early this morning, Sammy?
Yeah, I caught the tail end of the Chris Gomez interview. I heard most of the Jake Peavy interview. I thought, you know, what I heard from Jake was really, really good. When you want to talk about the Sasaki process or kind of his thoughts on how the Padres match up with the Dodgers, I thought perspective on you know, how maybe we should feel about that relationship moving forward and going into the season. And I think, you know, puts a good perspective on the reality of hey, if you can get into the postseason, look, we always know anything can happen, and any team can beat any team in a 3-5-7 game series. So I thought Jake was awesome, and looking forward to listening to the ones I missed earlier.
Well, we will have more of those guests throughout the week. I've got a list here. If we haven't gone through it, let's see if Paulie sent me all the fantasy camp counselors this week. Had it somewhere, but guys who I've already seen this morning include Wally Joyner, who's a new one around here this year. Definitely looking forward to talking to Wally, not only about his Padres career, but obviously with the Angels as well. We've got some of our favorites. Trevor Hoffman's here at least early in the week, so hopefully I get a chance to talk to Trevor. Mark Loretta, Brett Boone, some of our regulars, Arky Sinfrocco, Dave Dravecki, got to meet him for the first time last year. I mean, everyone knows, Sammy, you know, that story, just like one of the most gut-wrenching moments in baseball history when he comes back from cancer and his arm snaps on the mound and obviously ends up losing the arm. But you couldn't meet a more positive, nicer guy who has just turned that terrible moment into a positive and inspirational thing for people. It's just a great group of people out here.
Maybe next year I'll make it out there. I mean, obviously it's a great experience for the fantasy campers, including Woodsy and Paul, and I think it gives you guys a really good opportunity to catch up with former Padres and guys that can give a very good perspective on the game and this current team and all that. Hey, what would it take for you to join the fantasy camp festivities? Because, I mean, this is now year two of you going out there, and you're not participating again.
So I've been prodded for the entire 6 years. Like, why don't I come out and play? You know, the invitation was made very early. And, you know, people keep making the argument. Well, you're not going to embarrass yourself. It's, you know, no one out here is a great baseball player. Don't worry about how you look. I know guys haven't played in years. You could just come out there. I have one reason and one reason alone that I don't go out there. I don't want to injure myself.
Yeah.
And I feel like I am not the most limber of 49-year-olds to begin with. And if you start having me, you know, sprint and slide and, you know, chuck baseballs, I'm going to rip a ligament or something that I just don't want to
right.
do. I those days are behind me. I try to stick to the easy things like golf and Pelotoning for my exercise.
Right.
It's just those fast twitch muscles that never really existed, they're long gone now. So I just try to stay within myself and be a reasonable person. And I come out here and enjoy it though. And I think you should come out here at some point, Sammy. The only thing that I'm sad about that I'm missing, obviously, back in San Diego this week is the Farmers Insurance Open. Usually they're not the same week. But this year, because of how the calendar fell, fantasy camp and the golf tournament coincided. So usually I get to be out there for the tournament, and this year I'm going to be missing most of it. I'll be back for the final round on Saturday. But some news breaking last night, I don't know if you saw it, but there are reports out now, it has not been confirmed or finalized, that due to the fires in Los Angeles, they announced last week that the Genesis Invitational, which is Tiger's tournament at Riviera, would not be played at Riviera. It's in Palisades. It's right in, you know, the damaged area. And they just felt like that'd be bad logistically to try to bring all those people into the Palisades right now. So they were looking for an alternate venue. And there's been reporting that Torrey Pines is going to actually host a second PGA Tour event next month, February 13th through the 16th, with the Genesis Invitational coming to Torrey Pines as well, kind of doubling our pro golf fund, which is interesting because the Genesis, one of the elevated events with the extra, $20 million in prize money, gets all the top players, many of whom are not going to be at the Farmers Insurance Open this week, including Xander Schauffele, who is pulled out of the tournament with an injury. Scotty Scheffler is not playing. He is also hurt. But you would likely see, if they do come to Torrey Pines next month, likely see all of those top players on the PGA Tour playing at Torrey Pines, which is a very interesting thing. I don't know how much golf you're into, Sammy, but I found that story to be fascinating.
Well, I don't know if you know this. I've never played a round of golf in my life. So I'm not the biggest golf guy, although I did go to my first golf tournament ever, and that was a couple of years ago at this Farmers Insurance Open at Torrey Pines. I got to see Torrey Pines for the first time, which was awesome and beautiful, and I'd never been to a tournament, so it was kind of fascinating to watch these guys play up close. I went on the Thursday, I think it was, so it wasn't very crowded either. But that's great. Look, anytime we can get, obviously it's under, you know, unfortunate circumstances, but look, I suppose the next best thing to the normal situation in L.A. would be getting it down here in San Diego, and obviously, you know, would give another good opportunity to Torrey Pines and for fans in Southern California to still be able to get down and see some of these players. So, obviously, unfortunate circumstances, but, you know, would be good to get it in Torrey Pines.
I wonder if we'll get some official news. It's possible, at least in my mind, that they may not make it official until afterwards. I'd imagine the Farmers Insurance Open, and it would be the same people who are kind of running it, don't want everyone to think, well, I'll just wait for the next tournament. They want good crowds, and they want a good atmosphere. And, you know, the Farmers Insurance Open is always going to be a great party. It's so much fun to go out there and, you know, hang out in the grandstands. And all kinds of, you know, clubs and opportunities to hang out. But for the, like, the big-name golfers, the chances are you'll see more of them, including possibly the host Tiger Woods. He played in the Genesis last year and then went through more of his health concerns. But we've seen him in the indoor golf league. He played with his son and the father's son and walked. And he said, yeah, I can walk now. I can make it around. My game's not very good. But there is a chance that, you know, we might actually see Tiger Woods one more time at Torrey Pines. And I'd kind of given up on that possibility, the place where he won, you know, the Farmers Insurance Open, what, seven times, and a U.S. Open at Torrey Pines. There's a chance that, that next month we could see Tiger Woods back in San Diego playing golf again, and I got my fingers crossed that could be the possibility.
Ben, for somebody like me who doesn't follow golf very closely, what is Tiger's status right now? Is he done professionally? Is he still kind of playing, hanging around, a chance that he could play majors again? What's the deal with him?
Tiger can play in any tournament that he wants to. It's simply whether his body allows him to, and, you know, whether he is ever going to get to that level of competition where he can actually win a PGA Tour event. It's starting to seem unlikely, but, you know, there's always the chance that for one magical week, four rounds, the body feels good, the game gets in shape. We saw it with Tom Watson, you know, a decade ago at the British Open, where he came down to the last hole and lost to Stewart Cink. I mean, you can be 56 and still have four good days. So it's possible there's one more magic moment from Tiger coming up, but his days of playing, you know, week in and week out on the PGA Tour are done. I don't think the Champions Tour, which is the 50 and up, ever really appealed to him as something that he wanted to conquer in his career. So you just kind of, you know, when you do see him, you can appreciate him and hope that magic comes. And, you know, I'm hoping next month at Torrey Pines there's a couple of magic days in with Tiger. Yeah. Maybe he can make another cut there at Torrey Pines if he does play. So that's just, you know, one of the stories I've been following. Also was following, obviously, the NFL playoffs over the weekend. We can talk about the Final Four matchups being set, and a great game between, obviously, the Buffalo Bills and the Ravens on Sunday night. We'll get to that after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. Oh, some pretty good games on Saturday and Sunday in the divisional round of the NFL playoffs. And we are now set. Conference Championship Sunday this week. The Washington Commanders visiting the Philadelphia Eagles. The Commanders, the big surprise, Sammy, of the weekend with their upset of the top-seeded Detroit Lions. Jaden Daniels, the rookie quarterback, 299 yards passing, two touchdowns, 51 rushing yards. I mean, the kid obviously had a great rookie season. I thought maybe, you know, the clock would strike midnight a bit for a Cinderella going on the road against a team like the Detroit Lions, but nothing seems to slow this guy down. 28 points in the second quarter alone for the Commanders, as they are now the surprise, I would say the biggest surprise, of the four teams remaining in the NFL playoffs after that win on Sunday.
Yeah, and like the Commanders, the Commanders, I think, have a real chance in Philadelphia. Look, I didn't love the way the Eagles looked again on Saturday. That was Sunday.
Rams, yeah.
You know, Jalen Hurts looked really hurt. And I'm wondering what his status is going to be heading into a conference championship Sunday. Look, Jaden Daniels is outstanding. I mean, it's one of the best rookie seasons you can ever remember. And now what he continues to do in the postseason. I will say this about that Washington-Detroit game. You know, look, the Lions, even though, you know, Goff had to go out for a little while and their defense is so banged up, and that's certainly a reason they lost. And look, and the Commanders deserve a lot of credit, too. You know, there were some mystifying moments in that game from a Lion perspective. perspective, the 12 men on the field in the red zone was absolutely brutal. Look, for all the praise that Ben Johnson is getting, and he's going to go be the Bears head coach now, I thought the play call to have Jameson Williams throw the ball in that spot was mystifying. I don't know how you put the ball in his hands when you're trailing like that. You're driving, and he makes a major mistake, but you put the ball in his hands. So I thought that was a really bad moment for Ben Johnson in his final game as the Lions OC. So it was not a great game for Detroit. But look, they also scored 30-something points, and their defense just is so banged up. So that was unfortunate for them. But I think the Commanders got a real shot. I mean, I was not very impressed with the Eagles in the wild card round or the divisional round, and especially, you know, how hurt Jalen Hurts looked in that game on Sunday. That's a very interesting, intriguing matchup for sure.
Well, you know the Commanders are going to see a steady diet of Saquon Barkley on Sunday. He had 205 yards, obviously, against the Rams. They knew it was coming. They couldn't stop it. The Commanders had one of the worst, if I remember reading my stats correctly, like, second-line defenses when it came to stopping running backs, which could be a big problem in facing Saquon Barkley. But if they're one-dimensional and Jalen Hurts really is limited or doesn't play, that could be a great equalizer in that game. I thought one of the mind-blowing stats is that so Washington, with their win, advances to their first NFC championship game in 33 years. Did you see which team is now has gone the longest without reaching an NFC championship game?
NFC.
I was thinking about, like, the bad teams,
NFC.
Like the Cardinals.
Cardinals went to a Super Bowl.
No, they did it recently, yeah.
Right?
The Panthers, you know.
NFC team. I don't know. Which one is it?
It's the Dallas Cowboys.
Wow.
What an embarrassing statistic
you
for
think
Jerry
about
Jones
it,
and the Dallas Cowboys.
I mean, in my lifetime, I can't remember the Cowboys going to an NFC championship game, which is crazy. They haven't.
It is absolutely nuts. In the AFC, obviously, it's going to be the Buffalo Bills and the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, great game.
The Bills, I think, honestly, the Ravens were the best team. I do.
I agree.
And I think they... You know, the Bills did what they had to do to win at home. They took advantage of all the mistakes, the turnovers, and pulled out a two-point win on a dropped two-point conversion by Mark Andrews. You play that game five more times, the Ravens might win four of them. But on this day, the Bills emerged, and they advance. And now I think the game against the Chiefs is a toss-up. I mean, flip a coin. I could see either team winning this one. Toughest game I think I've seen to pick all postseason long. The Bills probably better? They won in the regular season. That was in Buffalo, though. You give Patrick Mahomes a home playoff game. Give him a chance at the end. How can you pick against him? You know, in his seventh straight AFC championship game. To me, that's the toughest game to handicap in the entire postseason.
Yeah, I think the Bills are better, but that doesn't mean much when you have to play in Kansas City and you're facing, you know, these immovable objects in the Chiefs and Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce. But I think the Bills are the better team. I think what's fascinating is the Chiefs, for how good their record was this year, for winning their first playoff game against the Texans, it just feels like they haven't been all that impressive all year, right? A lot of close wins. Their offense really never got it into gear in a big time way, but here they are again, one win from the Super Bowl. So look, this feels like another tremendous opportunity for Buffalo, right? And another marquee moment potentially for Josh Allen.
Yeah, the Chiefs are now two wins away from the least impressive 18-2 win season and third straight Super Bowl title in NFL history, and I'm sure that they don't mind at all that it wasn't that impressive. All right, we're going to take a timeout. We'll come back. 1 hour remaining. I got to get the TikTok star's reaction to what happened to TikTok over the weekend when we come back.
It was a rough 13 hours.
97.3 The Fan.